And now, Capital 263.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to My Two Cents. It's your boy Elliot Twist, and I'm joined here by the co-host with the most,
My Tandy, aka My Ta, aka That Guy, aka Black Girl Magic, aka yes. Amaire Munu, and stuff.
I wish I could do the AKAs.
No,
the AKAs are so cool.
Because I have an AK in my initials, so it just comes.
All right, I see. And we're joined here by a very special guest. I know that the ladies love him though, because I've attended a few shows and woo.
That's true. Oh my gosh, you're very funny.
I have no idea what to do. Wait. Hey, get shush.
You haven't been introduced. We've yet. Like Elliot's got this thing, you can't speak until you get your name.
Hey. So yes, it's crazy. Like they love, like this one time I was at a certain radio station and we're sitting just talking random stories and this girl says to me, "Oh my gosh, you sound like him." And I was like, "What?
Yeah.
Who?
Like him?
Like, oh, he's like, he's just the dopest guy ever." And I was like, and she's like, "I love him." Okay,
but I mean for real. I mean really for real. The ladies really do love you, though.
Okay, say
ladies
his name,
and gentlemen, we got so profound in the house.
Call me Arnold. Yay. Call me Arnold.
Or
yes.
Would you prefer the cat out of the bag? Would you prefer it if I called you so profound or Arnold?
I prefer Arnold. The more I grow older, and the more I start to become more myself and understand myself more, I think I prefer Arnold. Plus, when I came in here, you said, "Oh, is there any no-go area?" And I was like, "Okay, so we're being cool with like some cool friends, so why should they call me so profound? They can call me Arnold."
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Nice.
Wow, that's so dope.
Welcome, Arnold.
But I actually have some questions about your name, though.
Yeah, sure. What?
How did the name So Profound come up?
A funny story is I just finished high school. At the time, I'm in a dance crew called 16.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we're just four dudes.
And what?
We used to call ourselves 16, bro. Yeah. So
why?
I don't know. Because
like, it was cool.
16 sounded cool. Like, what's your dance crew name? 16.
Right? Yeah.
I was like, so it's 16 dudes?
Yeah.
And we had to find some cool angle, like, yo, it's four, multiply fours, you know, look at the coming out.
Wow.
But I remember at the time, dancing was the in thing. So it was some level of cool. But it was, for us, it was just not about our need to get girls or to be cool, but it was actually because we loved to be artists. We loved expression.
Wow.
And after
so
that.
So, Arnold, you can actually pop lock.
I used to know how to pop lock. A few areas expanded.
I was so polite. Oh, so, my God.
I got fat.
Yeah,
and so I got fat. And
we call it the comfort zone.
No. No, guys, I grew fat. I should put time in the gym.
Yes,
unhealthy living, but I get it. So at the time, the whole we grew out of the dance thing, right? And after the dance thing, it was now the hip hop thing. At the time, we all wanted to be rappers, right? Mm. And same dudes who were in my dance crew
are the same ones in your
hip-hop one in my hip-hop crew.
Yeah.
And fast forward, this hip-hop thing, I wasn't like the other dudes. The other dudes could come up, bust a flow, write lyrics so easily. For me to come up with a dope verse, I really had to think hard and come up with the flow and da 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 da. Right? So I didn't really never used to fit into the hip-hop thing. Plus, at the time, what my friends loved is hip hop. It was the crunk era. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And what they love is hip hop. And what I loved is hip hop was so different. And that became the turning point. So, my friends were going the other route, and I was exploring all types of music, which is more alternative hip hop, what some would call conscious hip hop. But I just think it's hip hop, right?
Yeah.
So, the artist I was more in tune with were the Roots and all those dudes, your Immortal Techniques and all that. And that's when I realized why I couldn't fit in with those other guys, because the type of flow they were busting and the type of flow I wanted to bust,
yeah,
totally different.
So at which point did you then say, I am so profound?
I'm coming to that. So I then fast forward, I discover spoken word, and spoken word came easily to me. And yeah, it was more my comfort zone, right? Because yeah, I didn't have to worry about the flow, I had to worry about the content. Mm. Now, to come up with the name, right? At first, I used to call myself Mathematical. So whack, I know. Right?
I'm sorry. Just give me a second.
Hold up.
But then, in my pursuit of just the spoken word career and expression and all that, one day I'm reading a book. I forgot what book it was.
Yeah.
But they used profound in a way I had never, ever experienced before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I looked it up and I found an alternate definition to it. Yeah. That said, profound actually means having intellectual depth and insight.
Wow.
And for me, the so profound was, it's just not intellectual depth and insight, but it's the level
above that.
Above that.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, that's so deep.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
But that's
you sound like
no, but that's deep.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that's tough, though.
I like that. Are we going to get further into Arnold?
Absolutely. Let's do this.
But before that, there are some things that happened during the week that sparked my interest.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we've got the whole Mazoe cancer incident. If you guys didn't know, there is...
The Walking Dead Mazoe.
Oh, is that what you're calling it now?
I'm just saying.
Right. I mean, there were protests online, and people were just saying, hey, how come Mazoe, why is Mazoe adding an artificial sweetener that can cause cancer? The sweetener is called aspartame K, right? Yeah, aspartame K. I hope I said that right. Yes, it's aspartame.
If you didn't, it's okay. It's okay. You go to medical. You understand?
It's okay. We understand.
Yeah, but
comfort zone.
I'm curious. What's your take? What's your take on that? Like that whole incident. Shreps did clear up.
Uh-huh.
They released a statement today and they said, hey, look, we're gonna give you guys options, whether if you guys want the one with the artificial sweetener or not, we're gonna give you both options. So they kind of cleared it up. I don't know, what's your take on it?
First of all, I think Mazoe Orange Crush is the greatest dilute to taste drink of all time.
I think it's the greatest diluted taste drink on the planet.
Fam. Mazoe.
What is that?
Oros. First time I went to South Africa, niggas are hyping up Oros, and I'm like,
Oros, huh?
Jolly juice.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. It's like a jolly juice that went to private school.
Oros, nah.
Wow.
You know what? We could think of any other range that is not Schweppes, like Quench.
Yeah.
Like what? Yeah. Those competes with Oros.
Anatakula.
Hey, Anatakula.
But let's not bash them. We might need them something.
Like, as you can see, I'm just quiet. I'm going to just be like...
No, because you stayed in South Africa for a while and you feel like Oros is...
No.
We get
my
it.
My guy, no. Follow up.
We get it.
Wow, he just fucked me. Yeah. Wait.
So when I got to South Africa, they become converted all of a sudden. I'm like...
Never. But
I've forgotten the greatness of Mazoe Orange Crush.
Pare ku Botswana futhi. Ah, ukhona that team eku Botswana dance Oros le shata.
Oyi Oros futhi.
Oros futhi. Hari ese Oros.
Guys,
anyway, Mazoe.
Yeah.
Oros Mazoe. Mazoe.
What's
Mazoe? No, he was talking about Mazoe. Yes.
What?
Mazoe is the best, and then.
And Oros is not.
Oh, that's your conclusion.
And Oros is overrated. I feel like Oros is
yeah.
Okay, let me not use that example. It was gonna sound very.
But the branding is dope, though.
Sexist.
I like the branding.
Their containers are dope.
Yeah, the branding is great. Dope.
Yeah, but again, it's not about Oros or Mazoe.
Yeah.
It's about what I think about Mazoe, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think it's dope, but look. people are always gonna, you know, the same people who are saying that are probably drinking coke, are probably standing in the sun, are probably doing all those things. All these things cause cancer.
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop being so hypocritical.
Yeah.
Because, in fact, you know what? I think Schweppes is even so kind to tell us.
Yeah, that the ingredients.
The ingredients. Because it's a whole, it's a truckload of things. As long as it's artificial or something artificial, it's not organic, it's going to cause something. So if you think this is bad, don't buy Mazoe. Go buy Oros or something. It's cool.
But one of the things I like, though, is it kind of showed me the influence of social media, man.
Mm.
You know, if people come together as one, do not make our good time, so...
You know, I'm actually trying to like cough politely, you know, because I don't like, you know, because remember, like,
you got the
whole,
cold.
I got that whole recovery thing.
Yeah.
So me is as smooth as.
Yeah, but no, yeah, really, it just showed me the power of social media, you know, how if you all band together and push for a sensible agenda.
But I got one issue with social media, though.
Yeah.
Social media, the problem with social media, I feel, is that it's... People think, are now using it. In fact, digital marketing as a whole.
Yeah.
The problem with digital marketing is that it is taken away from actually tangible interaction.
Right.
By that, I mean, when you market a product, people... base everything on the clicks, the likes and all that, but when you go on the ground, it's a totally different story to what. Do you know the people who really buy Mazoe?
We're not
on Twitter trying to check out the sweetener what. And if you check even the mentions, maybe it's just 2,000 people in a population of what? 13-15 million. And I know I'm going somewhere. And if you notice, the people who really buy Mazoe just don't care. Like, hey,
kill me with that cancer next
time. Like, just, you know, because they're not here. They're actually on the ground. And I wish people who actually do those things could actually then translate it to actual value with people. That's why you notice now we don't have a lot of events like we used to, right?
Yeah. Oh, we're gonna talk about that.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about that.
And if you notice, the difference between folks from back then and us is that folks from back then had the actual interaction locked down. We have the numbers up here, but the interaction and the actual experience is weak.
All right. Now, hold that thought, though.
Yes.
We are going to go deeper into that.
Yes.
When we start talking about you.
Right.
So there's something else I discovered online.
Mm-hmm.
So some scientists from Brazil have discovered, in fact, are making flour from dried cockroaches. And they managed to bake bread from these roaches. And their bread has got 23% more protein than actual bread. This is happening. Cockroaches turning into bread. I don't know. Would you try?
The bread?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm.
You know what? Like, check this out.
Yeah.
100 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe in 1918.
Yeah.
There are certain things that people didn't eat. There are certain things people didn't use because of... just how it was perceived, right? Because we've only known the cockroach in one dimension, which is it's that insect you don't want in your house, right?
Yeah.
Right? We've never known it in another dimension that's not the one we know, right? And I believe there are a lot of things now we consume, we think now is okay and all that, which people back then never knew in another dimension, but it took time and the process to get people accustomed to saying, yo, we're actually eating bread that is made by roaches. And by then, people will start harvesting roaches. Not if you tell other people in other countries, you eat that stuff? So what I'm just saying is, look.
Should we start embracing the roaches?
Sam, Get on the bandwagon, my G.
Ah, man, that's gross.
I'm telling no, you're only saying it's gross. Imagine this.
I actually feel like throwing up in my mouth right now.
No, no, but imagine this. Imagine this. Your kids, they grow up and roaches, bread made from roaches is normal.
Yeah.
Can you tell them otherwise?
You can't.
Okay.
But.
Yeah. May I share my two cents?
It's kind of disgusting.
It says, like, I'm just affected. I'm feeling some kind of way inside of my body.
Yeah.
I naturally don't like bugs. Naturally. Yeah. Like, me and bugs are just not...
Y'all don't get along.
Hey, you know, like, I mean, now I've had to learn how to act like such a G around bugs for my kid. Because I don't want Tanti to be like that. Like, oh my God. So, like, every time I see, like, bugs... No, but like when I see bugs around town, I'm just like, it's just like, girl, come on now. I'm going to try and pick up that. I'm thinking, I'm like, but like really deep inside.
Oh, and inside
when you grow up and you listen, I'm sorry, I'm not as bad as a hero as you think. But like bugs freak me out.
Yeah.
So the idea of consuming, like Arnold is saying, that like I only understand it in one perspective, and I don't like them. So I don't sa nini as amayandi as ora.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't know. It's a no. And I think to each his own, hey. I think like if you don't like it, if you don't like the idea of it, it's cool. If you're cool with the idea of it, it's cool too.
It's cool, but it's still disgusting.
Guys,
even though I'm getting 23% more protein from them, but
yo, hey, then
if do you know the wheat where it was grown?
Yeah.
How it was handled? Yeah. What probably made it grow faster?
No, there was like feces and all that, cows dung and all that.
No, we don't know. Wow. At this point we don't know. For all we know, maybe
we're eating roaches.
For all we know.
Well, you know what? Ignorance.
But who told us? But who told us that it's wheat branding? Like, hey.
Oh, so maybe it's not wheat. Maybe it's just a bunch of roaches.
Fam.
Don't be a 5% guy. What if really?
This is all a dream.
Oh
I mean,
my gosh. Red or blue pill, guys.
Like red or blue pill. What did you take?
Other real though, you know.
It's kind of disgusting. Yeah, it's kind of disgusting.
I don't know.
But hey,
so
it's only a matter of time. If you told us that being homosexual was gonna be the norm, you're gonna find it in every TV series. It's gonna be it. Like 20 years ago, people would have believed you, right? And people just saying, even the thought of another man kissing another man, oh, I can't breathe, oh, it's my stomach. But now it's like, yo, my best friend is gay and it's normal.
That's so
in 20 years from now, Ta could be her favorite bread could be
roach. I know what? Yo, shout out to you, baby girl.
Roach loaf. We are branding it now.
Go eat roach loaf.
That's why she'll be an adult. She do it in her house. Do it in your house, nigga.
Okay, guys. So if you wanna find out more about roach loaf, I'm gonna put up the link on the juice page, and you guys can check it out.
Dang.
So that you can see that I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth. Hey, quick question, guys. If you had $30,000, what would you do?
Right now?
Yeah.
Yo, you know what? I have a business plan. I have something that needs to take off, and $30,000 would absolutely change my life right now.
What would you do? What would you do if you had $30K in my time?
Right now?
Yeah.
Number one, I'd buy a pizza because I'm really craving a pizza right now. No, hey, you know, if... You know, the thing is, Jesus came already. Like, there's no actual way for that to be.
Oh.
Anyway, I'm just saying. Anyway,
$30,000
This is a running joke. It's the truth, though. I'm so bad at life.
$30,000
But like, okay, so $30,000 Honestly, I'll probably pay fees. Like, I'd push fees for as long. I'd throw it into education, into my kids' education, number one.
Yeah.
But I am trying to buy a house because I'm trying to get out of rent because I want to make sure that roof overhead it's not something my kid ever has to worry about. So like, those two things will be my priorities: school, education, and house.
Wow, you guys are
business.
So,
I'll have to hustle.
What would you do?
You guys are so deep. I'll just walk up to Zimoko and buy the latest bed.
To be honest,
on credit.
You know what? Shout out to you, my nigga.
Down payment,
so
what's up?
Black and I love the
place. I'm out here. You'll probably sell it soon.
I'll slay.
To me.
I'll slay on Instagram. You'd see me.
Slay King.
For the gram.
They spinning, nigga. They slay spinning. King. They
what
spinning.
Up?
They spinning.
Put some rims on that.
Yes. No, but you won't be able to buy rims, though.
Oh. On credit, right?
No.
Yo, 30K down payment. I get my Benz. I go to the rims.
No.
I go to the rims guy. No. I'm like, look, I paid 30K for this.
You used up the 30K. The rims guy will need
I got a sweet tongue, though.
Right, that.
Yeah. That would work great.
Let's say.
You can take that. Anyways,
I'm yeah, but I got a sweet tongue.
What, sweet tongue?
Moving
see.
On.
Okay.
Yo.
So just a quick one, you know. So Loud, there's a competition right now called Loud Africa. So Pablo has come has joined forces with African
Fire.
African Media Fire, and they got this competition running. It's like a talent competition. They've already put in 300K, and the cash prize is $30,000. You know, for the contestants stand a chance to win $30,000. So I was just sitting there and just thinking to myself that, wow, you know, what would I do with 30K?
Can I ask a question though?
Yeah, sure.
Big shout out to
and all them peeps,
all the people, Pablo's and Africa Fire Media for really putting such a great dope show to look for more talent.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my phone. Let me just silence it.
Oh, all right.
Well, you know what? Like, I think... it's interesting. We don't have enough of that, you know? Like, we don't have enough cool of that. You know, let me stop. Because we got people who trying to do things. Anyway, Arnold, I don't want to...
Yes, big shout out to them. I appreciate this, but I also hope there is a plan in place to actually, because we've always had talent shows.
The biggest one was CBZ.
Like, these people keep coming and going, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I want to see a talent show where there's an actual plan for this artist to be injected into a system that works, right? Because I always see all the. The reason why Idols is amazing, right? The reason why Idols is amazing, is that there is a process in place for that person to flourish in an industry. Because what happens after this person wins 30K is that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Within Idols, these people are going to record. Placed on a PR contract, and there's marketing, there's a major, there's this, there are all these things for this person to actually succeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times I feel, and I say this out of respect, that we're spending more and more and more money on trying to create these shows.
Yeah.
Right, I get it. There's great content around that, and there's money to be made.
Yeah.
But there is more money to be made by fixing this system so that this can be more thriving.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you know what 300K in the hands of a person who actually wanted to fix the system could do?
Yo, guys.
Mm.
Guys.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That actually hit me in the gut, though. Like.
So. This is amazing. Like, it's so dope. Like, I love all the people who are working on this. But I just hope that outside of these people who are trying to do this comes also people who want to build a system that actually works.
All right. Just in their defense, let me just say, they did say that they're going to help out with video production, album production, and possibly facilitate some collabos and all that. So
that's dope.
I don't know. We're gonna see.
At least that's a process.
We're
and
see
the
what
dope
happens.
Thing, you know, the dope thing with such competitions is you got a chance to actually prove or structure out a system by placing this person where our whole, because there's going to be this huge hype
yeah.
that this person won, right?
Yeah.
So if there's going to be this huge hype that this person won, they've got a chance to actually then take this person through a process to say, this is how things are done.
Yeah.
This is the process.
Yeah.
And this is how we need to structure this thing. But big shout out to especially Africa Fire Media. I got too much love for people there.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the authenticity of this conversation.
Did I just cost you sponsorship money?
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right. There we go.
This was just something that grabbed my attention. I mean, $30,000 for a talent show is a lot.
It's a lot of money. Yeah. True that. True.
Man,
true
I could buy new friends, change the color of my skin.
Yep. And get some few slay queens. Like
yeah. Get me a few slay queens and lose all my family members.
But why
over a drug habit?
But I can't maintain. Like what?
Yeah. But let's see, man.
Weed.
No, just buy me my pizza first. That's all I'm saying, guys.
Which one?
At this point. You know, I'm a very flexible child.
Chicken slice pizza is some whack pizza, just saying.
Oh. No, it's not okay, guys. It's really not okay. I have tried it, and you know what?
No,
it's not okay.
Shout out to their chicken. I'm a fan of the chicken.
That was so random. Oh, okay.
Oh, is that what you were asking? What kind of pizza?
Yeah, like which
pizza? Chicken slice pizza. Like, pizza slice, I would just say thank you politely and just take it. But like, yeah, I don't know.
They just don't know how to make pizza.
Any pizza.
I love their chicken. Right? I would take their chicken 5 times over chicken.
Yeah.
But their pizza, yo, they didn't work in that.
Who's had a slice of cream? Who's had the cream
slice?
You know what, guys?
I have, and it's like,
oh my gosh, we've just.
Short-lived.
Yeah. No, don't worry. Continue.
No.
This is Capital 26 Free. Pretty
no,
safe.
No, but do it. This is another thing that we need to fix as a nation. Just excellence.
Yeah.
You could tell these people are not trying to be better.
Not at all.
They're not trying to give you the dopest pizza ever.
Yeah.
I've been fortunate to experience service in different countries.
Yeah.
And you can tell, outside of them being a job,
yeah.
But you can tell these people actually want to give you a better product.
Yeah.
They actually want you to feel, experience something amazing when you taste their product.
Yeah.
Right? You can tell. It's like the Argentina and thingy game.
Yeah.
The one
from yesterday
where Argentina lost 3-0
the big
Croatia.
Mess.
But you could tell the Argentinians, like, those guys just don't. You can tell they just don't have the fight. They don't have that grit to say we want it so bad.
So basically, there is a much competition.
Yeah, like
for pizza slice to up their game.
Yeah, it's just like it's pizza. We're making pizza, so what, man? Like, people are gonna buy it? Well, they're not gonna buy it. What?
We don't care,
and it's so sad.
All right, we're gonna.
That's true of most of our products.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why we don't compete on a lot of levels.
We're gonna get like in a detail on a certain episode about our products.
Yes.
Yay.
Definitely.
I'm ready. Just tell me in advance so I can do some stages.
So fam, you're now a DJ on ZFM, right?
Yes.
So can you tell me what the transition from poetry to radio was like for you?
It wasn't a transition at all.
Yeah.
Because radio was always part of the plan.
Right.
I remember I once met Aura at an audition at Power FM. Look at me whilst I tell you this story.
Oh, God.
Aura.
Okay. Okay, wow.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Okay.
So, I once met Aura at an audition at Power FM.
Yes.
And she left. No, as in she stayed in the building and I didn't.
Yeah.
So which meant that she got the gig. I didn't.
Right.
And this was just after my O-level break.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, it was after my O-level break.
Yeah.
When that happened. But I only got onto the air like what? 7-8 years later? Right. Yeah. So when people see it now, they think it was just a transition. But if you think about it, poetry, spoken word, the root of it is communication, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't define myself as a poet or a spoken word artist or as a radio personality or as a communication strategist or all those things. I define myself as a storyteller.
Yeah.
And in expression, sometimes that comes out as spoken word. Sometimes that manifests itself as a radio personality. And sometimes that comes out as that strategist doing A, B, C, D, E. So the transition was, it was just a different medium. And just the semantics were different, but the essence was the same.
All right.
I think that's why it didn't take me so long to really assimilate into that world.
All right. Just for the audience, what's the name of your show again?
I got two.
Yeah.
I got the Love Lounge and I've got the Soul Avenue.
All right.
And I also produce the Big Show.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
That's dope. That's
yeah.
dope.
Nice.
So your show took over Delani's show,
Yo,
right?
Oh, don't say that. I still get nightmares from
Delani. Your show took over Delani's show. Did you ever feel like those were big shoes to fill?
Absolutely. Because
I remember listening to Delani, and I'm not comparing or whatever, but I'm just saying that when I was listening to Delani's show, I just remember it was like church.
Delani's
show was like church.
First of all,
you go in.
Delani is, I think, I have a list. I keep a list of people who literally changed my life.
Yeah.
Who were so kind to me, who opened my thinking in a way that I can never, ever, ever could have imagined.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Delani was one of them.
Yeah.
He just didn't open his professional career to me, but he opened his life. He taught me things he didn't have to teach me.
Yeah.
From letting me into his house, into his space, and teach me all he knows sincerely. And you could tell this dude doesn't want anything from me. I don't know what he saw in me, but I was not amazing.
Wow, so he basically just invested.
Fam, Delani. I was at some point Delani's minion.
Yeah.
Like, I would make his coffee. I would go buy his lunch. I would go do everything.
Yeah.
Like, and I would drive him around. Because I just wanted to learn from him. And he allowed that to happen. And if you know Delani, he's a very private person. And he's he doesn't do that with a lot of people. So taking over from Delani's show was such an experience, in the sense that for a long time, maybe it was just God aligning me with him, because he knew that at some point I needed to take over that space.
Yeah.
So I was so privy to his process. I was so privy to a lot of things in the background,
yeah,
that when the time came that I actually had to do it, and at some point I actually produced this show low key, right? So when it came the time that I needed to do that Sunday 10 to 2, the Soul, it's not called the Soul Avenue, but then it used to be called the Sunday Loud Lounge, right?
Yeah.
And it was a matter of me remembering what he taught me, remembering his process, and just try to bring my personality to it.
Wow.
That was just the difference. But Delani had taken 2 years to teach me.
That's amazing.
Like, he didn't even know. And at some funny story. So at some point after I got trained with Z, and at the time there were no openings for show,
yeah,
Delani literally called the radio services manager at the time, which was, his name is Tinashe something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he literally said, "Yo, I got a youngster. He's ready and he needs a gig now. And yeah, I need you to give him an audition or a demo tape, but I trained him personally, so that means he's ready, right?" And he wanted me to be on Power FM or SFM between the two, but he really wanted me to be on SFM, because at the time he was saying that you've got the opportunity to read. It was just a lot. But this is how I didn't end up there. It was because I took my demo to the guy, right, which Delani stayed up until 3 a.m. making at his house, right, gave me money to get a combi to and go and drop it off at
ZFM.
No, at ZBC. I was already at ZFM.
Yeah.
To the radio, the guy who used to manage all the radio stations.
Yeah.
And guess why? How I didn't end up there. The guy lost my demo.
Wow.
So in that moment, I could have ended up on a Power FM or whatever FM, but the reason why I didn't end up there was because he lost my demo. Exactly 2 months after him losing my demo, Delaney's contract expires and he has to go back to South Africa. And guess who they say has to take over his show?
Youngest in charge.
Wow, talk that's about divine intervention.
I know, fam. But big shout out to Delaney. I cannot thank him enough. I don't think my story will ever be complete.
Hey, but I felt it though. You felt that though?
Yeah, I felt it. Hey, yeah. Like it came from a very
genuine. He didn't have to do it.
Mm.
Yeah. He didn't. Delaney, even his brother Sunny, both were just good to me.
Yeah.
I was so broke. Everything was not right with me, but they just literally, especially Delaney, just opened his life. Like, yo, you don't understand. Like, D though, big shout out to the man.
That's D. So you said that moving from poetry into radio was pretty much the same thing, right? Sometime last year,
yes,
you did try to organize. In fact, you did organize an event. I did get the flyer.
Yes.
What was this event called?
A poetry convention.
Yes, it was a poetry convention.
Say something. Poetry convention.
Right.
And this poetry and spoken word convention.
Can I be honest with you about something?
Mm-hmm.
When I got the flyer, I saw the lineup.
Like,
I was really
mad
looking. Yo, it was different, right? And I was really looking forward to just seeing how all these different energies were going to work together.
It's an amazing story, though. How it all came together.
How did it come together?
So I get invited to this kids poetry slam.
Yeah.
They call it Izgu Poetry Jam.
Yeah.
And I get there and it's a whole venue full of youngins, 16 to 21.
Yeah.
Packed to the rafters.
Yeah.
And whenever they're introducing certain and I did not know any poet.
And they were hyping each other up.
And I was sitting in the crowd and I was getting some kids who are actually celebrities in these circles.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there and I was thinking to myself, how come I did not know all of these kids?
Yeah.
And most of them were saying, we started writing because we saw you perform. When you came to our what? We saw Mazitati Guru performing at that event. We saw this person perform at this event, and I'm thinking, but how come I didn't know this space exists? And it was not the only. I went to another event like that again. I did not know any poet in there, right? But most of them knew who I was, which meant that there was a disconnect.
Yeah.
A disconnect between the people who inspired me to be a writer,
yeah,
to want to start performing, right?
Yeah.
And so I think we're now, I'm like the fourth generation of spoken word artists.
Yeah.
The first generation being your Albert Nyatis, your Chirikure's, your what.
Yeah.
The second generation, which is the generation that came after that, your Ignatius Mabasas, your what, all those dudes. Then came the third generation, which is your Comrade Fatos, your Outspokens, your the people in that tier, that Magamba, that House of Hunger, that Mashoko.
Guys.
That whole tier, third tier. I came through on the scene when that almost was
coming to an end.
Coming to an end. And the reason why, for example, we pushed so hard because those spaces were no longer available.
Yeah.
Magamba was going another direction. They were no heavy into citizen journalism and they're no longer hosting events as they used to.
Yeah.
And House of Hunger was no longer popping as it used to because the older guys thought like the platform was now too small. They needed to transition and a whole lot of things. So that's why we pushed so hard. But after us, there's like a disconnect, right, to the next generation, which means because these dudes never taught us, we just saw them and they never initiated us into anything.
That's a conversation I had with a friend, I think about a month ago, where he was saying that it's kind of sad how the older generation didn't create platforms for the next generation.
And
it's kind of sad how even the older generation right now is still trying to get into the spotlight. Now, mind you, after decades, still want to get into the spotlight.
You just captured all what Say Something was all about.
Mm.
Basically, So, and I saw that and I was thinking, wait, I am here. I'm at a place where I have enjoyed some level of success.
Yeah.
Right? In the poetry thing, in a way that these dudes never enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Right? But I only got into it because I saw, I became a spoken word artist because I watched PSP and Flowchild perform.
Sure. Mm.
And after they performed, I pursued PSP.
Yeah.
I pursued him. And after that, I started to pay money at a internet cafe and look up spoken word poetry and what. But that's not the conversation. So I then made a decision. I wanted to not just bridge the gap, but I wanted to create not just a platform, but an industry for those young cats. Because if you notice, there were three takes on the program. There was first take, second take, third take.
Yeah, yeah.
So how we did it was we wanted to balance the wanted the first generation, second generation, third generation, and fourth generation represented on a program.
Yeah.
So that the youngins can have an appreciation of where it came from.
Yeah.
So that we can pass the baton so that they can see all shades of it, right? So how we did it was on the main program, the main concert, because it was going to be three programs. It was a conference in the morning, right? It was going to be a writer's round table and a poetry slam in the afternoon, and it was going to be a main concert in the evening. The reason why we made it like that was because in the morning, we wanted to capture the art of spoken word, but in just speech, the ability to speak, to sell an idea, to do this. So even in the, because the conference was called Think Next, and we wanted to get business leaders, wanted to get thought leaders in different industries to come and speak on an idea they came up with on what's next, where we at now and what's next and what we can do to get there. That's why there was Ruveneko, there was Fadzima Here, there was all these people. And the most important thing is we also wanted to get artists to come and speak on ideas. That's why there was Tswarelo, there was Chila there, there was just so it, the idea, it was like a swaggy version of TED, but in a more very creative space and actually nation building at heart. Then the writers round table, it was going to get people who actually are writers to come and talk, just a round table about their creative process, writers, what people who actually to improve the art of the pen. Because I feel like that's getting lost in the... People are no longer... Guys, I remember the first time I listened to some of these dudes who helped me perform. She was one of them. Just spit, like, the first thing that... You were one of them. And you were rapping. And the first thing that came out was just... The pen was mean. And I don't feel like that when I listen to stuff nowadays. Like, where's the pen, though?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
wanted to,
I actually feel
people aren't right. We had this conversation.
They're not, or the writing is not intentional enough. So wanted to grow the writing art, the art form of just the writer. And the poetry slam was, of course, the winner of the poetry slam. I will explain. The poetry slam was to keep the culture alive, because the poetry slam is more of a cultural thing than more of a competition thing, right? Then the main night, there was first take, second take, third take. First take were for poets who were just going to come through and just do one piece, right? And you just come through and just blow people away, right?
This was so, in my opinion, this was really, really needed. In fact, we still do need this. What happened on the day that you guys were supposed to make it happen?
The convention was supposed to happen on the 18th.
Yeah.
Joiner City on the balcony of the 14th floor. We were going to experience poetry overlooking the whole city.
Wow.
That was going to be dope.
Yeah.
So the 18th was the Saturday. The Tuesday, that is not a coup started happening. The Wednesday, the Thursday, the nation is at a standstill.
True.
By the Friday, then there's a social media rumors going around there's a march tomorrow. Then I go to the venue trying to organize where the chairs were going to go, stuff, just last minute tweakings and all that. Then I had a conversation with the event the venue, and I was just picking the brain. So, guys, are you going for the march tomorrow? Then they said, of course, yes, we're going to go to the march tomorrow. And they had forgotten that I'm the guy who is an event. And from there, for me, it was one of those like, oh, okay. All right. So it's not even top of mind that I have an event tomorrow. It's not your fault. It is the nature of what's happening around.
Yeah.
And in that moment, as the person who was the director of the convention, had to make a decision, which was to cancel, because Swa was supposed to travel. It cats from Zambia coming, cats from South Africa coming. And here's the kicker. The heartbreak moment was all that was coming from, we didn't have a sponsor. We wanted to prove the concept first, right?
And so, you guys had literally gathered all your resources.
Fam, we had booked Airbnbs for the cats coming from Zambia. We had paid for their transport. Oh. We had paid for the flights of the cats coming from SA, right? And where they were going to stay. We had paid the people who were going to pick them up, drop them there, their meals, everything. So not just...
And you know, nothing could have prepared you guys for that.
Yeah.
Because no one saw that coming.
The morning after, I wake up. Like, you know when you go to sleep, not disappointed, but really sad.
Because you literally cut off your limbs to make that happen.
Fam, like, yo, the money that was just lost in that whole event, and just the emotional stress of calling everyone again. The same way you called them to say, we really need to do this. You have to call them with the same passion and say, you know what's happening. We cannot do this anymore. You know, that kind of thing.
So quick question. How did you take it, and how did you get back up?
Get back up? I think I got really... It was such a heartbreak moment for quite a while. I was emotionally very... Because it takes me a while to feel things. So I think I then got to a place where I only started feeling it, I think, 2-3 weeks after. I was getting into spaces where I would shut down, and I didn't understand why. And I noticed I just hadn't dealt with that. So I took a break. And when I came back, it was cool. But it was a teachable moment, though.
But what are some of the lessons?
There was no risk management in place.
Right.
And we didn't hedge a lot of things, and that's a teachable moment, definitely, when I'm hosting. And plus, it just showed us certain people, because certain people were really divas during that time.
Wow.
Were really hard to handle. Like, wow. Where you would explain to a person that, fam, I do not have, and I'm doing this from my pocket. The reason why I'm asking you is I know you would understand, because I would come through for you. But they were just so hard to deal with. And it was just a pain, the demands and all that. And it's cool. It was a teachable moment to just show where people's hearts are and what we need to do when we host the convention again.
So it will be coming back again?
Yeah. It was supposed to come back October, but October I'm releasing my debut album, so we're gonna take resources into that. So we're gonna post the convention to 2019 in March.
All right. Can I stop you there for a minute?
Yes, sir.
All right, fam. So we have come to the second segment.
Okay, it's not the end.
No, it's not the end. This is the soundbite segment.
Was that a tinge of disappointment I heard? Damn, okay.
Hang in there, we're not done yet.
We're not done yet?
Yeah, we're not done yet.
Just went over now.
Oh, this is our record breaking guest.
Alright. Alright, so I gotta do something, get ready for this.
Okay.
So, as I prepare myself,
it's a process. So basically, we're supposed to talk whilst this process is being sorted out.
Okay.
Our listeners are used to this now because this happens.
So you just mumble.
We just kind of like,
all right,
yeah, you know, hashtag.
Where did you buy your boots?
You know, where did I buy my boots?
Yes, since we're just talking. Get it? Get it? Come on, Aura.
Wow.
Oh, man.
my God, I'm not ready. Guys, help me.
Where did you buy them?
Let's talk about it. These are like old. These are actually really sentimental. I think I got these.
From who?
From my dad.
Okay.
When we still lived in SA, so I was in high school.
So your foot hasn't. Wow.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah. Well, uni actually, beginning of uni, like first year of uni. So yeah, I was still in my teens.
All right, guys.
There we go. Let's hear this.
A sugar daddy is willing and financially endowed to spoil his woman, and he's just older than an average boyfriend.
...37-year-old Nina Peterson is one of the world's most successful sugar babies.
The best part about being a sugar baby is the lifestyle. Vacations every month. Not having to worry about paying your bills. Thinking back on this lifestyle, I am certain that it's provided me well over $1 million. I've had my nose done 3 times. I've had my boobs done 4 times. I have had extensions in my hair that were thousands of dollars. I have paid close to $100,000 worth of surgeries. Well, I didn't pay, but...
Her most extreme surgery came earlier this year when she tripled her 34D breasts to an incredible 34H.
I think they're like 8 pounds. I'm addicted to shopping for my new boobs, you know, like just buying a whole bunch of cutesy-tootsy stuff from my daddy. Because he loves it when I dress up. He calls me his little Barbie doll. I love to push those girls up in the air to salute my daddy. But, you know, he's worth it, and he rewards me so well, so I can't complain. Pick out a color.
All right.
How about those two colors? You can put this as a base and then put that as the top coat.
I would want a man that pays for everything because then I don't got to worry, and that's a gentleman thing to do.
Nina's very open about the sexual side of sugaring.
A sugar daddy invests in a woman that he feels has the potential to be an asset in his life. A prostitute is not an asset. With being a sugar daddy and a sugar baby, you don't necessarily have to have sex. I mean, with me and my sugar daddy, he had already invested about $30,000 in me before we even had sex.
Nina insists that her role actually helps her to keep up with her traditional family values.
I think there are a lot of broken families nowadays that could benefit from a mom being available to raise up their children. I'm all for women having equal rights, but that's not what I was born to be. If back in time, if I had the opportunity to vote for women's rights, I'm sorry, I know I'm going to get bashed for this, but I would have rather stay at home. Once I built a trusting relationship with my sugar daddy, then I introduced him to the kids.
Anytime she gets money, she likes either take us on vacation, buys cute dresses, spoils us.
Their college is already paid for. They can choose wherever they want to go. My life is wonderful. I'm blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed over haters.
And young Juliana, who is nicknamed Nina's sugar daddy, Santa, has a good idea of what she'd like to see in her future.
I know we live in a big, beautiful home, but what I'm wishing is that we live in a big, beautiful home, mom's a top sugar baby, and that she gets married to Santa.
Nina's camera-shy sugar daddy is treating her so well that the 37-year-old plans to move on to a new venture.
He's basically retired me from sugaring. He spoils me. Anything I want, I get. If my children came to me and decided that they wanted to be a sugar baby or pursue that lifestyle, then I would support their decision. I would have a sugar baby academy with younger sugar babies to groom young ladies. I don't see any shame in being considered a bimbo. I think a bimbo is a free, enthusiastic, scintillating, beautiful, happy, boisterous young woman. I don't want to be normal. I don't want to be basic. I don't even think I'm human. I believe that I'm part alien, and I believe that I came to this earth to do incredible things. I just couldn't live a basic lifestyle.
All right. So, guys, what's your take? I want to know the feminists to hear this, because there's a part where she says, look, even if women were protesting like back in the days for equal rights and all that, I don't think I would have taken part in
it. I would have stayed home.
I would have stayed
home. I cringed when she said that. It's such a leftist thing to say. It's so left. But I think, number one, let me just prefix my response by saying people live their lives however they want to live them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's number one. Number two, if it works for her,
all good. Yeah.
Right? But from where I come from and how I was raised and how I perceive things, that's a lot of...
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. It takes this whole issue to like 100 years ago when women were not allowed to vote or were not allowed to do certain things.
Yeah, to take part in civic activities.
Civic activities because they were considered objects.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Objects that men take care of, or that they're just not allowed to participate on a greater level, right?
You know, it's really sad how she's got a daughter now thinking that this is the right way to go.
No, and you know what happens? It shapes a whole generation of people who would think that. It's like Kim Kardashian, for example.
Yeah.
I believe the Slay Queen is a making of the Kardashians and
they created this thing
and if that whole reality TV and how things are perceived and the things you chase, if you notice, it's synonymous to the what people call the Slay Queen in theory.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it's that making, it's a whole generation of people who start thinking that things are a certain way or that these are the roles which is we should assume, and it's okay. Like I said, if that works for certain people, great, but I don't want to raise my daughters, for example, to think that that is okay.
That is the worst.
Yeah.
That is the worst. I don't know. What do you think, Brenta?
I'm actually, like, not even like in a false way. It genuinely upset me. Like, it upsets me on so many levels.
That is like, something.
You know, like in the beginning, I was kind of like, you know, like the typical response, like, shh. And then at some point, I got genuinely like, moyo wangu, like, I felt sober in that moment. Like,
wait, what?
I think for so, Lord help me. Okay, there was one, the child.
That was
when I heard her voice, when she just started talking. Yeah, I think I was like, no, Satan. You know, it was. I felt it here, and then it's like, also where I felt, I almost took it personally. You know, when she was like, yeah, you know, I'm all up for equal rights, but now I've got time for my kids. I can actually raise my kids, and it's like, okay, I'm a working mom. You know, I'm a working mom.
Yeah.
I mean, my friends know just how. Like I'm always in this internal war. Like I have to go to work, I have to hustle because I got a baby to take care of. You know what I mean? And I take my hustle very seriously. But then I would love, like, any spare minute I get, I want to just be at my home, you know, with my child. I don't like the fact that my child is spending, you know, has to spend some late nights with the nanny, where the nanny has to cook. You know what I mean? And I can't cook for the whole week every time because sometimes I'm working on the weekends. You know what I mean? So it's like, her to, like, you know, it's like a vicious cycle. It's a catch 22 for her to be like, yo, you know, I got this guy who takes care of me. Like, yo, cool, good for you. I would like to get to a point where I can, you know, just have millions passively coming into my account because I worked so hard.
Yeah, and get breast implants.
Yes, you know,
and get nose jobs.
No, thank you. I think I am super fine the way I am. I'm a freaking parking ticket. That's how fine I am.
Yeah.
but like, yeah, like. It was, she's broken. She's broken.
And she doesn't even know.
And she's breaking her children. And that is, woo, they are good words to use. Or I use a better word. That is messed up.
Yeah.
You know, it's you can't break yourself. It's fine. Break yourself. Go for it.
But don't break involve your kids.
But the sad thing is, because if we can find it and it's been consumed on a mass level, it means that's what's informing the public mind, right? Which means this, in a certain way, has become normal in certain areas.
In certain circles.
In certain circles.
Yeah, even Kunog, it's become normal. It's I mean, this is what normal. We call a slay queen. This is a slay queen, that, right? And I won't lie, like, I know there's this chick who's a slay queen that I know. I won't mention her name, though. But I do see her on my timeline. And every time she posts, you got people going like, oh, that is so dope. Oh, that is... I get it. I get it, you know, that's just how... That's social media etiquette, right? You don't want to be a hater. You don't want to be labeled a hater or whatever. But I just think we're selling the wrong kind of mindset. We're selling the wrong kind of story. Exactly. Mm. The wrong kind of affirmation.
But we need to take care of the... What is the root of the problem? Because this is just an effect.
Yeah.
This is the result.
Yeah.
Of what's being... of something that's deeper than that. If we go back... Let's rewind, right? To what gave birth to what we are seeing now, right? So back in the day... You had to work so hard for you to be on television or on radio or on a place where we consume you and we're like, whoa, you're so dope, right? You had to work so hard. It's two things that used to take you there. It's either you were super talented or you were in the system. You were flirting with the system in a way. And that's a polite way of saying...
You were working the system, basically.
Yeah. So you're flirting with the system in a certain way. So only people who used to be consumed on such a level were people who had paid their dues, paid their everything, and they're now at a place where we can consume them. That's why back in the day, scandal, that there's a celebrity scandal, was a big thing. Because the assumption was, you paid your dues. You should know better.
You worked your way there.
You know how painful it is not to have this. Yeah. But here's a generation now that everyone has a Facebook account. Everyone has Instagram. So
TV's in our hands now.
It's in our hands. So you don't have to work hard to actually get there.
I'm going to look up this woman on Instagram. I bet you. Her name is Nina Peterson. I bet you she's got like a million followers.
So here's the thing. What got taken away was process. And what process does, process only builds character.
Yeah.
Process, if you have worked for money before. Now, I respect my dad way more than I used to back in the day. Because back in the day, it was always, Ndarongo asinon tingira baskoro. So he's a bad man, right? Mm. Until I started working for money, my G. Like, and I started to understand, like, whoa, this dude
has my funnies.
Like, has my funnies. Like, this is, so if you've worked for money, how you spend it, you really, 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 really cherish and really think hard about how you spend money and how you plan for it and all that. So what's been taken away is process. Now, whenever process is taken away, something is added. What is that? Desperation. The need to fulfill a certain, because that need, if it would have been taken care of in the process, right? So that's what we are just witnessing. So it's not
instant gratification.
Instant gratification.
That's what we want. That's what we want.
You know,
I want to earn $1 billion and not have
right
to lift
now,
a finger.
Yeah. And it's so sad to the extent that right now I was having a conversation with someone that they were saying, because I'm so detached from my phone. I don't know why. And it has nothing to do with not being... There's no deep reason to it. I'm just not attached to my phone like that, right?
Yeah.
Not that because I have a work phone or what.
Yeah.
I actually have a good phone. But I'm just not always on my phone. But this dude, literally all the time, they cannot engage in a conversation continually without checking their phone for, and they post a lot, so they're always checking who's saying what about them and who said what about them and all that, right? And we're having a conversation about, like, and they're asking me, like, dude, like, they'd send me a WhatsApp message, and they're like, dude, did you check my WhatsApp? And I was like, you sent me a message? I'm like, no. Trans, yes, please check your, I sent you a link to something. Then I checked it. I was like, dude, do you ever actually use your phone? And I'm like, yeah, I use it, but it's not that deep. I'm not always on it like that. And then they're like, yo, I cannot imagine spending a day without my phone, right? And if you look at why they're saying that, it's they need for that fix to say they need to know someone is clicking like and seeing them.
It's an addiction.
It's an addiction.
It's an addiction. Pretty much like crack.
No process.
It is an addiction.
And it's sad. So yeah. Personally, this is just a result of something so deep.
Yeah. I guess. All right, fam, we've come to the last segment, and it's called Celebrity Story.
Yes.
So in this segment, you just tell us an incident you had with either a local or international celebrity that you either found funny or that was distressful or just something, a story.
A memorable moment.
Yeah, a memorable moment.
Memorable moment.
Hmm. Pick one.
I think it was a local, actually. Mm. I'm in 5th Avenue Spa.
Yeah.
This is the height of Makandiwa's, like, influence.
Yeah.
And he's... This is literally people see him and they kneel type anyway. Right?
I've never seen that, but anyway, yeah.
No, do you remember those
days? I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've
right.
Seen
like,
it.
Like, yeah. Like, this is like the peak. Yeah. The peak, like...
Of his papahood.
Yes, like, yeah. Of his papahood. Like, this yeah. is the peak,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So, I had never interacted with anyone with him like that. Right? Yeah. Or anything. I just heard about the stories.
Yeah.
But I'd never... done my due diligence.
Yeah.
Then I'm in Fifth Avenue. It was still Spa Theatres.
Yeah.
At the time, and I'm trying to pick something. Then I turn, and I see this tall dude, and he's looking at me. Right.
Yeah.
And literally, he's like, now.
What is pointing at you?
No, he's not pointing at me. He's
like
just,
oh,
he's just staring
he's
at
wearing
you.
A, and he's tall.
Right.
And so in that moment, I'm still trying to...
what is this?
You infidel.
So,
why don't you buy down to me?
Stop it, Eddie.
Oh, okay,
I just want to say that the views of the hosts are not necessarily the views.
So
we're bad people.
In that moment, I'm like, so it hasn't like rang a bell yet that this is Makandiwa in front of me, right?
Oh.
Then it clicks. So literally now there's like a... It's
a
like
frenzy.
No, it's yeah. like... I'm still trying to process everything I know about the dude.
Yeah.
And that this is the dude.
Yeah.
And so he must have felt awkward because I keep staring at him and I don't realize that.
You're not doing the thing.
Do the thing. No. That I've been looking at him for a while, right?
Yeah.
I think it was so weird for him that why is he looking at me like that, right?
Yeah.
So literally, it's like you are starstruck.
Yeah.
But in my head, like there are a lot of things happening in my head.
Yeah.
So I kept looking at the guy, yeah. literally. Then he passes me, and I keep looking at the guy like, whoa, right? And now everyone around me is looking at me like, dude, like,
yeah.
what's up? Like,
yeah.
what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Then I snap out of it, right? And he's gone. He's, like, down the road.
So are you telling me this whole time everyone around him was acting normally or they were all kneeling?
People
what was the environment
just doing
like?
Their thing, right? But, of course, there was a tension that that's Makandiwa. Now, we're in the same row and I'm literally...
And there was no frenzy?
No.
And he didn't have bodyguards.
No. So here's the thing about people from the north or people who think they are bougie. They are. If there are people who, no matter how dope you get, they will never, most of them,
they'll never turn out. They'll be like,
tell you to come through and say, fam, you're so dope.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Dudes from the north, No, they could think, especially Zimbabwe, no.
Because Jews, that's from not the, true. Because Jews from the north are superstars too.
You know why? Because maybe they actually think maybe they are better, or yeah. because they know someone in another country who's better.
Yeah.
Because think about it this way: Zimbabwe, South Africa, north. Looks to the States.
Yeah.
Right? That's where the template is.
Yeah.
And, okay, let's start from the South.
Yeah.
The South is looking to the North.
Yeah.
Right? Because the North is some version of actualization.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
where are the dudes in the North looking at? Because they can travel, they can do what. So they've experienced life on all levels. So they,
exactly.
they look outside.
Yeah.
So because they look outside, it's so hard for them to actually say, Aura, you are freaking amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Mm.
So, I respect dudes like Ja Prazer.
Yeah.
Where, even in the North, they say, you are amazing. Because yeah. they don't do that for niggas like me. They might be fans.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
they,
yeah.
Just, they just wanna... They're gonna... you're gonna get introduced in their circle. Yeah. Right? And they're gonna pretend
yeah.
like they're seeing you for the first time. Like, oh, so this is so profound. What about you? Don't say something. And they're just like, oh, hi. You good? But they probably stay up at night
listening to your show.
Listening to your show.
And I don't get that. I don't get that.
Fam. Because, yeah. but just go to Copacabana and they have seen you on TV before. Someone's just gonna walk up and they're, one more day, just say, don't care, Tareo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kupi. I was wrong about that, boy. And did you? Oh, dear walked in the door. Yo, what up, though? You're taking a picture. Yo, yo, yo. The love is real, right? Because for them, they look up to the person who's on TV, who is actually doing something dope, and yeah. it's real. But people in the North.
So your final take on seeing Makandiwa, like, what was that like?
No, I was weird.
Yeah.
yeah,
that was because it was like a good because he was picking something, right? And I kept looking at him like on a and I'm not moving, right? Because
on a creepy guy,
on a creepy guy level, like a rapey guy level, oh like pedophile level,
like look at him picking up a sandwich,
and caressing it.
No, this is where I put my foot down.
He's picking up an orange.
Hey, his who hand is this guy? So big. No, 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 guys. Come on.
Oh, look at the size of his hand.
Oh, no. Guys, can someone please find our guest, Arnold? I don't know where he went.
that was so creepy.
It's so cool, though, because I've never seen dude.
Yeah,
like real life. Never seen him.
You get what you're saying?
I just seen him on TV.
Like, exactly and what posters. You're saying is like, I've never seen this guy in real life. And then yeah. this is like the peak.
So were you like moved?
Were you spiritually moved? Like,
fam,
did something happen?
You don't understand
yeah.
the level of. Because in a certain regard, even though you don't believe the hype,
mm-hmm.
you kind of believe the hype.
You feel. You're like, oh. Okay, that's annoying.
So it's one of those like, and I kept looking at him like, whoa,
that is right? interesting.
And I think my mouth was open though. Like,
oh wow,
it was so creepy. So that was the takeaway. Like,
all right, fam. All right, thank you so much for coming through.
Yes, thank you for
it's
having
been,
me.
It's been a lot of laughs. We had a very very rich conversation. Thank you so much.
It's always dope sitting on the other side of the microphone.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's so liberating. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, man.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming.
Your social media handles for people?
Yes.
Who are on social media?
The Profound One. THAPROFOUNDONE. That's Instagram. That's basically you find me everywhere.
All right.
Like that. And by the way, I am so, believe it or not, I'm very shy, if I can say that. And I'm uncomfortable with endearment. So I'd never know what to do with comments. So, just to put it out there, I was so uncomfortable when Elliot started this podcast and is showering all these praises, I was super uncomfortable. Like, can we just get on with it now?
Oh, right.
So, yeah. So, that said, yeah, thank you for having me. This was really, 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 really dope.
All right.
Awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Yes. Awesome, awesome. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you can find this podcast on
What are you doing the voice? What are you doing?
That's
the
voice? Because
that's the end of the podcast.
I have to do the thing.
It's for the
I have to do the things.
Wait, he has to do the things for the girls, also for the ones that want to go jogging, and like, you won't jog with
them.
Do
you want to go and jog?
That's no, I don't question. Jog. See, run spelled backwards is a nerd. So nerd. I don't
know.
Not normal. Finish your voice. Do the thing.
So be sure to follow us on.
Do the voice.
You can find us on at the juice at THEDJEUCE. You can follow us to find the link to this podcast.
Wait, whoa. What happened to the Juice magazine?
It is the Juice. It's still there. We rebranded.
Now digital.
And it's now deal.
Okay. All right. Because I was in the group.
Oh.
On Facebook.
Yes. Yeah, that's a long time ago.
To name a previous.
That's a long time ago. It was still spelled juice as in J-U-I-C-E.
Yes.
It's changed, fam. Everything.
Now the deuce.
The deuce. Everything's changed. Everything's changed. All right. And you can follow Miss Aura at Miss M-S underscore A-U double R-A.
We didn't do the thing. We have to do the thing.
All right. A U R A. Another R. No more R. And then A. After that, I never received a DM ever again in my life.
Well, you know what? Like, my DM been full of cobwebs. So I'm not even. I just gave up.
I was impressed until that song. Y'all were doing so well. I was like, yo.
We're going to lose friends, my dear. All right, y'all. It's a wrap.
Bye. Peace.
And now. Capital 263.